The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Today, we'll talk about primarily one statement made yesterday while all that was going on. Good afternoon and welcome to Thursday. And if you haven't heard by now, the shot heard around the college football world uttered yesterday in Houston by Jimbo Fisher. He went after Nick Saban. Call it a good-natured jab, beating someone's, you know what, is that good-natured the way it was said? Maybe it was. We are going to spend a lot of time trying to figure that out this afternoon. Jimbo basically said, for those of you who don't know, I am going to beat Nick Saban's A. Take that, Tuscaloosa. How has that worked out for former Saban assistants? Not very well. He hasn't lost to one yet. The average margin, close to 3 touchdowns. The closest was in 17. Remember the title game? I bet you do. Well, that was the title game. That game went to overtime. 3-point differential. Hello, Devontae Smith. They met again in the SEC title game. It was a 7-point decision. Jim McElwain's never been on any good list, but he is on this one. He's number 3, and Lane had it really close at the end of that game, and it is 15. Yeah, I know you're thinking Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen didn't coach for Nick Saban. Well, let's move along, although it will be difficult. Oh, actually, we were not going to move along because Lane Kiffin couldn't resist tweeting, former Saban assistant. Here we go again, calling out the GOAT, shaking my head in the middle of another championship. Good luck. Just went on the wall in the weight room in T-Town. I cannot wait to get all your reaction to that because, you know, bulletin board material, you hear about it in junior high, and now we're talking about two grown men who make combined $17 million a year. Two of the best coaches in their profession with national championships, and Jimbo Fisher trying to fire up the troops. We'll hear all of your opinions on that in just a minute. Let's move on. A lot of reaction to the fall camp changes. This has been going on. We talked to Dellinger about this a couple of days ago. Coaches are going to complain, are they not? I don't want to hear it. Meanwhile, remember Dee Foster? He stepped away from football last year after a battle with COVID. He's back. Good for him. He'll play for Clemson this season. And speaking of the Dogs, they'll take on Clemson in the first game in Charlotte, Georgia. The state, I mean, is bracing for a new reality. So is the university, for a new law being signed today by the governor of GA. That is Brian Kemp, who is a UGA graduate. And he will be with us in a couple hours to tell us why he did that. Good afternoon. Welcome to Thursday. A little slower pace today. Not as many guests. More of your reaction. Brent Swerneman will join us in a couple of minutes. He's the one that got the audio of that Jimbo brickbat towards Saban, the governor. He was with us last year about this time. And Simon Gibbs. He's been covering sports and everything else for the Vanderbilt Hustler. We have followed his career through and through, and he's about to graduate. And we want to send him off with one more visit here on the program. Your phone calls right now. What do you think? What do you think about this? You're always told not to talk too much, but if you're an Aggie, do you like it? If you're an Alabama fan, do you care? I think Ed Ogeron said this once after his team beat Alabama. Didn't work out so well the next time around. Anyway, 855-242-7285. That is our number. And let's give the prime position here on the post to Matt. What do you say, Matt? How you like what your coach said?
I like what he said, Paul. And what I like to say to Alabama fans, y'all can get your a-hole beat, Nick Saban. So bring it on, Nick Saban. And you know, we're going to roll tide against you, Nick Saban. That's all you Alabama fans, Paul.
Yeah, hey, Matt, before you say another word, I vaguely remember you saying that last year when Aggies were going to Tuscaloosa, and you only got your blank beat by 28 points.
Yeah, I know that, Paul. I'm aware of that. But this year's different. Nick Saban doesn't have all his weapons. This year he loses tons of his weapons and his running backs. This is a whole new nipping year, Paul. Yeah, we got our butts beat 28 points. But this year, Paul, he doesn't have fancy little weapons. This year, Nick Saban is going down.
Okay. I can wait. Games in a couple of months. How about Simon? Sutton is up next. Hey, Sutton, you're out in Texas. Good afternoon to you.
Howdy, Paul. Howdy. First-time caller.
Thank you.
Eight-year listener, since the Aggies joined the SEC. And I wanted to, before I give my thoughts, to encourage you and thank you for all the historical SEC topics that you share on the show. As somebody that doesn't know the history, I've really enjoyed and appreciated learning about the history of the SEC, especially from your journalism background. So I want to thank you and encourage you.
Thank you.
I attended the Houston Touchdown Club meeting yesterday. My daughter is a fourth-generation Aggie, be a senior in the Corps of Cadets this fall. And Paul, my key is that Jimbo is reprogramming us Aggies. To win a national championship, obviously you got to beat Alabama. It's plain and simple. And for Aggies, we have been programmed. If you go back to and ask and had the ability to ask my grandfather, who played for A&M in 1928, he would say that the goal of the team was to beat Texas University. That was it. When I was in school in 93, it was to beat that team in Austin, 90 miles away. And I think now Jimbo, after being here, he understands that he's got to change the culture at A&M and to focus on winning a national championship. You've got to really reprogram a fan base, and I think he's doing that. And so those comments were to a bunch of Aggies yesterday, and I think he's going to continue to, you know, he's going to have different meetings across the state with different alumni associations, former student associations, and I really believe that he, now that he has all of his recruits in, that he's going to try to change the Aggies' thinking of being in national championship conversation in the offseason, which has never happened for the Aggies. We had our best year since 1939. And I think it's a culture change that he's brought to A&M. And I think the fans believing that we could compete, granted we haven't yet, but I think it's a mentality change that he's bringing.
Hey, can you take us inside and give us a reaction of the context of how it all came about?
Yeah, there was a lady that stood up, and it was question and answer after he had talked about the spring and everything, and she stood up and she said, I want to paraphrase, I don't know the exact quote, but she said, what about when Nick Saban retires? When do you think that he's going to retire? And Jimbo's specific quote was, we're going to beat his,
right,
starts with an A, while he is still there. And then he went on to talk about his respect for Nick Saban, what he has done, and the building of a program, and how that A&M can build a program just as good as Alabama over a period of time. So it's very respectful, even though that quote is, if you just read that one quote, it sounds very harsh and very flippant. But in the context of talking to a bunch of Aggies that have focused about beating the Longhorns for literally a century, it's a change. When I was in school in the 90s, R.C. Slocum would talk about beating Texas. That was it. We could be 5-5 as long as we beat Texas. And that would be a good year. 5-5 and beating Texas was a good year. So I really think it's a culture change that's happening in Aggieland.
Well, I know that there was quite a reaction. Was it cheering, laughter? How did the audience take it?
Well, you've been to A&M. You've been around a bunch of Aggies. And what do Aggies do when we agree with somebody, we go whoop, and that was what it was. It's a bunch of old
baggies, that's great.
Agreeing with our head ball coach that's changing things like they've never been before. I mean, he said it that first year. It ain't going to be like it used to be, and he's doing that. It started with recruiting. He's changing the culture. And now I think he's really got to now work on the fan base to change the mentality. We have a saying in Aggieland. It's called battered Aggie syndrome, BAS, and it's a real thing. It's history of being beaten by the University of Texas for years and years and years and years, and always feeling like things are going to slip away, that they're not going to work out. And he's having to change that mentality in Aggieland from the fans, and obviously he's changed it with the team. But to me, this is a different Jimbo out on the campaign trail, trying to change his fan base.
Thanks so much, Sutton. Appreciate the report. You were there. Trey was not there, but he is in Alabama. Trey, good afternoon.
Paul, listen. For a while there, it was old Daryl from Georgia we had to listen to. Then it was Jeff from Columbus and Ohio State fans, you know, and Buck Earl and Andy from Perrysburg. Now we got Matt and Texas A&M fans. And just old Saban and his players just go about their business. They won't say a word when the games are over. They'll quit calling in again next year. But, you know, Paul, if I can change the subject a minute, I wanted to call the other day. I have a question for you about name, image, and likeness, if I may. Do you think the government's going to get involved and start making these players pay taxes on that money? Is that coming also? What do you think about that, Paul?
Well, it looks like the president wants to put a pretty hefty tax on capital gains now. Do you think he will exempt college players from paying taxes? I don't think so.
Well, I don't either, and I'm just wondering, you know, there's a certain amount of money being made, you're paying more taxes and things of that sort, so I'm just curious how all this is really going to work out, and I just hope somebody with these players and the players getting this amount of money, I hope that they steer these young men on the right track when they're doing this, and that's my biggest concern.
Well, you know, and what, Trey? They better get prepared for it, because a lot of young people are entrepreneurs while they were in college, and if they don't do it, then they'll learn a valuable lesson. But I'm not really too concerned. Players get tutored on everything. That doesn't mean they listen.
Well, that's true. We didn't listen growing up, did we?
I don't listen now.
Well, I have to disagree with you there. You got selective hearing. How about that, Paul?
That's fair.
Hey, one more question. Whatever happened to Bo Scarborough? Do you know?
I do not. That's a good question, though. We'll see if we can get you an answer on that. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. You got it.
Yes,
we're up against the break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We've already talked to one person in the room. We have another one at the bottom of the hour.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we are back, and we continue with the phones, and Josh is up next in Maryland. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Paul, this is my first time calling the show. I've been watching your show for several years now.
Thank
not,
you.
Not every day, but, you know, I try to watch every, like once a month at least, right? No. I just want to respond. I'm an Aggie, and I thought the previous caller, he made great points about changing the sentiment and everything. I just would have to issue one warning to Mr. Fisher in this situation, and it's that of, you know, are you familiar with the story of the ancient Israelite king and named Ahab, and he was going up against Ben-Hadad, and Ben-Hadad, the Aramean king, says, I'm going to come in and I'm going to, like, take away, I'm going to take all the buildings down and burn your city to the ground and everything. And Ben-Hadad said, one who puts on his armor should not boast like one who takes it off.
So true.
And so if the Aggies, if we go up and we win, I will absolutely, you know, Jimbo Fisher, he will have my sincerest reverence or whatever you want to call it. But until then, he needs to make sure that he's, you know, just, you know, not that he doesn't get conceited or anything. And I think he's doing that. But I just, there have been too many times. I just remember a few years ago, our athletic director, I believe his name was Eric Hyman,
right,
said something, made a crack about our defense controlling the tide, which our yell leaders had been making the joke the year before, but our defense got shredded by them that year, and we lost. And I think that they remember that, you know.
Yeah, I'll never forget. Speaking of Aggies, I was in the day before the Alabama game. I can't remember what year it was. So it must have been 4 years ago or 6 years ago. And the Aggies thought they were going to win. And we got there. We were there early, and we were walking. Somebody was showing me around the new locker room, and I ran into Kyle Allen. And we started talking. And I said something about the Alabama defense. I said they're really expected to be great this year. And he stopped and he pointed at. I think there was some film stopped on the board, and he pointed at a couple of cornerbacks. He said those guys are not that good. And I think one of them was Marlon Humphrey. It may have been Minka, I can't remember. And he got intercepted, I think, three or four times in the game, and Alabama won by three or four touchdowns. This was before Jimbo, but I'll never forget that, though. And I don't think I told the story because I didn't want to embarrass Kyle Allen, but it doesn't matter now. He's in pro football. Let's check out Kyle, speaking of Kyles, in Dallas. Hey, Kyle, go right ahead.
Paul, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I wanted to I'm an Aggie graduate myself, and thanks again for being so Aggie heavy today on the show.
Oh, sure. Thank you.
But I wanted to piggyback on what Sutton said before the break about battered Aggie syndrome. That is 100% absolutely a thing. It's always been a thing, and Jimbo Rogers, I mean, Jimbo Fisher, he really seems to be turning the tide a little bit in College Station, going after Saban a little bit, even though that was taken out of context, I think, as he was saying before. But, yeah, we respect Alabama, but this team's looking to do big things and maybe not expect to lose, but possibly expect to win, you know?
Well, let me say this. I've been at a lot of these clubs, and they used to be a lot more fun when a coach could come in and the media, you either asked the media not to report it, and I was there sometimes, and you respected it, or you didn't let the media in, and coaches really let their hair down. So what he said is not unusual. It's and by the way, how we're talking Texas here. We're talking Texas A&M, a very proud group of people. If somebody had asked him about Nick Saban and he said, man, I can't wait till Nick Saban retires, you know, then maybe we'll finally be able to win. How would that have gone over with a fan base that's paying him on a $75 million deal?
Of course. He has to say these things. You're absolutely right. Like, there's no way he can't say these things with that paycheck.
And by the way, it's one thing to do what Ed Orgeron did, and I mean he talked serious trash And you know, he didn't say I respect Saban. I mean, he said we're going to beat their blank, and we're going to you know, all the I can't remember all the things he said, but he was pretty heady about it. I mean, Jimbo couched it, and I'm glad to see Jimbo's got a good sense of humor. That's what you have to have, and there's nothing wrong with you know spraying a little a few stray bullets across the bow. I mean, what is Nick Saban? You think Nick Saban's going to mark that date and say, "Oh, we're going to"? I mean, it would be a difficult game anyway for Alabama. I mean, Nick Saban is not overly concerned about what Jimbo Fisher has said. Now, I will say this: I've never, ever heard Nick Saban say anything like that about another coach or another program. Even privately, I have heard him be critical of a couple of coaches. I was with him once in a setting where he alluded to two coaches about some things that he didn't like, and they were legitimate complaints, both of whom have been fired since. We will take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And Brett Schwerneman, who broke this kettle in a teapot, or whatever the phrase is. We'll talk to him. Tempest in a teapot is the phrase. Brent is up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
So the shot heard around the college football world was fired yesterday by our next guest. He is Brent Schwerneman. Don't shoot the messenger, he's probably saying right now. All I did was report. Brent, thank you very much for joining us. The headline in the Chronicle today, Jimbo Fisher starts the hype with good-natured jab at Nick Saban. Thank you for being here. I want to sit back and listen how this all unfolded, and then we'll get to what it all means. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Jimbo met with us before, a group of us media, you know, at a Houston hotel before things really got started with the Touchdown Club. And he was just in a good mood. You could tell he was happy to be back. You know, he's a talker. He was happy to be back in that environment where people are face-to-face, not many masks around, shaking hands and doing things like that. Well, he visited with us. He was really upbeat. And, of course, he's feeling really good about this season as well. So then he goes in front of this group of people. And so he speaks for about 50 minutes. And just carrying on about the Aggies, and he takes some questions at the end. And he had a little back and forth. It was playful banter, I'll call it that, with the woman who was sitting up near the front. And so he let her ask one more question. And kudos to the lady, because she drew him off sides with the question by just mere mention of Nick Saban, of saying, outside of Coach Saban retiring, you know, how are y'all going to beat Alabama? And just that mention set him off, and he said, you know, we're going to beat his ass while he's still there, or something to that effect. And Paul, you know, this is a good thing. It's before school. The kids get home from school. Otherwise, I have to change that to beat his hiney. But he did say we're going to beat his ass, and it was almost one of those situations where he just couldn't help himself at that moment. And he's done that with us before, too. One time he mentioned, you know, happy stories about his program being poison. And so when somebody repeated it back to him, they said, you know, you mentioned that rat poison. He said, I didn't say rat poison. I said poison. So anyway, so that's how it played out, how he mentioned that. And he immediately, as soon as he said it, he started talking about how, you know, much respect he has for Coach Saban and on down the line. And if you can't believe that, if you can't believe that you're going to beat their ass,
then why even do the job? He would have never taken the job at Texas A&M if he didn't think he would eventually beat Nick Saban at Alabama.
Brent, I'm just curious, from as a reporter, you're hearing this. You know how valuable this little nugget is. What did you – I mean, in the old days, I mean, I would put it in my notebook. I'd make sure I got my lunch. Might stop and pick some coffee up on the way back to the newspaper, go tell all my buddies, and then sit down and write my story, and most people would hear about it the next morning. What did you do?
It's funny you say that, because I'm at the back, and keep in mind, after 50 minutes, 5-0 of this, of Jimbo talking about Aggie football, I'm not going to say I was a little bit zoned out, but so when he said it, I perked up, and fortunately, early in the deal, I had taken one of the old-fashioned recorders, one of the ones you're talking about we would have been using back then when we would have gone back to the gotten some coffee and gone back to the newspaper to get our notebook in. And I had taken it around the side and found a speaker, because there was so much clanking from the silverware where I was sitting in the back. You know, typically they put the media at the back of these type of events. I couldn't hear him great. So I had to wait to go get my recorder, you know, once he had finished up, to make sure I had heard all that exactly right. I mean, I knew he had said it, but I said, okay, I got to make sure and hope my battery hadn't run out in the meantime and all those things. So, yeah, so then I get it. I go back and listen. I go, okay, yeah, that's what he said. And he was certainly drawn off sides at that moment. And then there were other media members there, but it was quite a few of the TV stations in Houston. And, you know, and those guys, they were there early for the availability. They hung around for a little while, as you mentioned, made sure and got their food, as I did. But they split. So there really wasn't anyone left on that front. I saw someone saying, hey, where's the video of this? I'm not sure that there is video of it. And I was just kind of fortunate that I had turned on the old school recorder on it as well. Otherwise, it might have been something I paraphrased and didn't have verbatim. But because I had that old recorder, I was able to grab the quote verbatim.
And immediately it started racing through the outer world. So now that it has settled down, and listen, I know he said what he did afterwards, we all believe it. We know the relationship between these two guys. But what do you think it all means for Aggies? Like it? Don't like it? Love it? What has been the reaction to what he said?
It was an interesting day in Houston yesterday. Of course, I'm based in College Station, so he spoke at the Houston Touchdown Club. This was a noon-type deal, a noon lunch. And then they had the Houston Coaches Night, which is a huge gathering at one of those big ballroom-type settings in Houston where, you know, 500, 600 Aggies were there. So then he was at that last night. And it was funny to hear him talk at that, because he then said, y'all may have already seen the article on this, what I said earlier today. He said, now I've written a, how did he put it? I've written a check that now I have to cash. But essentially, he didn't back off of it. And to your point, every single Aggie I've talked to or heard from since loved it. They loved the bravado because they actually believe it. And, you know, that game October 9th at Kyle Field is getting the most hype as a game you were at, you know, going back to 2013.
Right.
When Alabama was coming to Texas A&M, when Johnny Manziel had won the Heisman Trophy in 2012. And this is shaping up as that type of setting, you know, provided both teams can get to 5-0, 6-0, or whatever it is, to the midseason point undefeated at Kyle Field. Because they believe Jimbo, I mean, you're talking about a guy who in his third year led A&M to its highest finish, number four, which, you know, I know that's not a big deal to a place like Alabama, but at A&M it is a big deal because that's their highest finish since 1939, 81 years since they won the national title. So he's got them believing. And then, of course, you know what happened in his fourth year at Florida State? They won the national title. Well, this is his fourth year at Texas A&M. The schedule certainly shapes up is very advantageous to that, as opposed to, say, you know, last year when we talked about the schedule and it being daunting with them going on the road to places like Alabama and so forth and playing an all-SEC schedule. So certainly it shapes up as a better situation. And he's got Aggies on board and believing, no doubt about it.
Well, Brent, what about the team that is going to pretty much end Nick Saban's career on that early October day? How good are they?
They're going to be really, really good on defense. This has to be the
I haven't done the numbers yet, but this has got to be the most experienced defense in Texas A&M history, because you've got four starters who were seniors last year who have taken advantage. Now, how he was able to talk those guys into coming back instead of entering the NFL draft, I have no idea, but four starters on that side of the ball coming back for a bonus senior year, another very valuable reserve in Keldrick Carper, who's also, you know, a six-year senior or whatever it is. So they're going to be – this was one of the best defenses in the nation last year with most of those guys back. Offense, you're talking about replacing four out of five starting offensive linemen, but he's recruited really well at that position. And I, from having been around Jimbo now for a few years, you know, he talks about how he worries about every position and so forth. But he said yesterday, he said he feels really, really good about the competition between Haynes King, who he mentioned is a sub-4.5 guy at quarterback, and Zach Calzada, who has the best arm of any Texas A&M quarterback I've ever seen. So he's feeling good no matter how that situation plays out. Obviously, all of that boils down mainly to how a new offensive line holds up. But he spoke very highly of those guys, and I don't think he would do that if he wasn't feeling really, really good going into the summer.
A fired up Jimbo Fisher. That's what we need to keep our offseason rolling. Hey, Brent, not only thank you for coming on, but thank you for saving this month for us. We really appreciate it. We cannot wait to start talking about this.
Paul, I need to find out the name of the woman who was up front and asked the question, because she's the.
Yeah, you're right. If you find out, she will be she'll be sitting in the president's box at Kyle Field that day. Hey, thank you so much, Brent. Great to have you on.
Well, hey, Paul, one thing right before that, Jimbo had heard, kind of gone back and forth, and I don't know if he knew her previously, but he told her to hurry up and ask a question. Like, he was joking. So the result is this. So he cranked up the talking season with it. Thank you, Paul.
Hey, it is great to have you on, Brent Schwerneman, and thank goodness your kids weren't home so we could get the actual comment on the air on a PG-rated show. Brent, thank you. It's always great to talk to you. And Brent definitely wins the Reporter of the Year award for getting that not only right, but getting it, period. How would you like to be one of those Houston television stations when you do the perfunctory interview with Jimbo and you go back and Brent's story gets out there, and then the news director calls you in and say, hey, we're going to lead the newscast with your video of what Jimbo said. And the guy goes, I left early because I had to go buy Chick-fil-A and eat lunch. We will take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285 right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
By the way, Brent was talking about the lady in the audience, the Aggie fan who pushed Jimbo to ask to answer the question. If anyone knows who she is, let us know. We'd love to have her on here, and she may be the hero of the Aggie season or the GOAT. We're not really sure which. Let's get back to the calls. And Mark is up next. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Very well, thank you.
Hey, as a former principal of a school in Birmingham that had an opportunity to be in meetings with Saban and Jimbo in the same room, meaning when they were coaching together at LSU, I can tell you some stories. We won't have time here today, but tell you a story, one quick story, that Jimbo will kind of hold his own inside a meeting with Coach Saban. I've heard him tell them to shut up, be quiet. You're saying too much. You don't know who this guy is. Talking about me as right. Administrator. Things like that. But here's where I want to get to, and I'll be off the air, get someone else on. To be a champion, and I know this may sound trite or we don't want to hear this, but you said it earlier. You said everything that needed to be said, and you said it about 22 minutes ago. When you said Coach Saban has never made this kind of statement in his entire career. You won't find it anywhere because the great ones, they don't do it. So Jimbo and Aggieland, you know, if you want to be a champion, get you a coach who's a champion before you hire him. And, you know, I think that's a fair statement on my part. Coach Saban's great because he doesn't do this kind of thing. You know, and I think the people that know, what are the people hold up? We want Bama. None of those teams have beaten Bama, and neither will A&M this fall. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much, Mark. Great to have you there with us. Brian is in Amarillo by morning. Hello, Brian. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
It's great. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for letting me come on. I graduated from A&M in 1972. That was a long time ago, and my dad 41 before that. But this last year, watching the committee, you know, pick A&M like number five, and I think there wasn't an Aggie fan anywhere that didn't believe we should have been number four and that we're not getting the proper attention that we should be. But I will say this, that the SEC really needs teams that can play Alabama well and play them hard. And I believe A&M's getting there. Now, Alabama, no question about it, gets all the best players. They get the top recruits. And then behind them's Ohio State. But I think in time that if you can't imagine beating a team, you're not ever going to beat them. And that's exactly what Jimbo Fisher's saying. He says, I can see us beating Alabama. And I think he will. And I think Jimbo Fisher's most likely the best coach A&M ever had.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I would. That's a really interesting comment. But I think the family of Paul Bryant might take exception to that. Let's move along and talk to Danny up next in Georgia. Hello, Danny. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, thank you for taking my call. First, I think Jimbo's comments are harmless, and I seriously doubt Bama needs bulletin board material. This is likely not part of the process, so I don't think they're worried about, you know, about what he said. Next, to Mark in Huntsville, this is SEC football. It's not elementary school. And also, your second caller thanked you for an education on the SEC, and I would like to thank Sutton from College Station for educating us on the Aggies. I never would have known about beaten Aggie syndrome or any of that, so thank you for the call.
Yeah, no, I am unfamiliar with beaten Aggie syndrome either. Tyler is up next in Tennessee. Good afternoon, Tyler.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We are doing well. Thank you for calling.
It's an honor to get to talk to you. Yes, I know where the big talk is about Jimbo and the Texas A&M and Nick Saban, but I just want your honest opinion about the University of Tennessee on if we have any hope of winning this year.
Yes, and I think some of it's coming from the transfer portal. I just read today where Tennessee is getting a linebacker from Texas. They've gotten a quarterback from Michigan, and while they lost a wealth of players, many to Oklahoma and other places, I think they're at least holding water right now. And not only that, I think one thing Josh Heupel he's got some great quarterbacks. Let me rephrase. He's got some good quarterbacks. I'm not sure they're great, but he has a good quarterback room. And I think he has a manageable schedule, which is critical for a first-year coach. We're up against a break. Thank you for being a part of the program. The governor of Georgia coming up a little bit later. Your phone calls right around the corner.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.